Welcome to Briefing from CRU
93.3.
There's of tens of migrant working as living in caves in Ontario being neglected. As the suggests, givers give care to the need of assistance. But who's caring for the rights and needs of migrants working as living caregivers? Migrante Ontario is a non-profit organization advocating for the rights and well-being of migrants working as living caregivers. The passing of Bill C-50 has made it easier for people working in Canadian migrant worker programs to work with temporary status, but harder to gain permanent residency. Working with temporary status in Canada leaves the rights of migrant workers far less protected. However, most migrants who come to Canada are led to believe that they have the chance to become Canadian citizens. Interested in getting involved with the Guelph contingent of Migrante Ontario? Connect with us at migrante.ontario@gmail.com. That's migrante.ontario@gmail.com.
Sound Magic, here every Saturday afternoon on CFRU. Seriously, music.
I love the things that people make.
welcome to These Things That People Make. As always, I'm your host, Sarah Mangle, and I'm really excited today to be airing an interview with Alicia Lim, who I interviewed way back in June 2009 about the fabulous project 100 Butches. And now I'm back with Alicia, which is really exciting, and we did an interview talking about another fabulous project that they've just finished called The Illustrated Gentleman. And it's a 2011 wall calendar, so it's a really good time, good timing for you to pick one up yourself. We did the interview in Alicia's house in the West End of Toronto, so we'll go to the interview now.
Okay, so Alicia, thanks so much for doing this. I'm so happy. You are the first person I've ever interviewed twice, and I'm really excited about that.
I'm so honored. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And so I want to just start by, I have a few, like, things after looking at The Illustrated Gentleman of being like, okay, let me reflect on our conversations around butchness from a year and a half ago and, like, ask you about just, like, just the title. So you went from making a book called 100 Butches to now making a calendar called The Illustrated Gentleman.
Yeah.
And when we talked last, you were like, I'm wondering about the word butch. I'm wondering about its, like, connotations related to culture and race and conversations about that. And so I just want to hear you talk a bit about the word gentleman or also your thoughts on the word butch.
Interesting. I guess I don't feel restricted, or not, I shouldn't say restricted, but I'm not concerned about the context of gentleman at all, because I think in a way it's all kind of it's less an identity, I guess. The question of butch is still a totally sensitive one, and you know, now I'm supposed to write the second half of that book.
Oh yeah.
100 Butches is only half, like, volume one's finished. And I'm moving even further. I'm not even sure if I identify as butch anymore, or if maybe trans, and then in that terms, like a sort of more feminine trans fact or something. I don't know. But I find that most of the people that I'm writing about now use the pronoun he.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a butch anymore at all? Or what does it all mean? So I'm kind of relieved by The Illustrated Gentleman, which, like, gives me a lot more freedom.
And it's not, and it's self-published.
It's self-published, yeah.
So that also gives you more freedom to...
I hope so, yeah. Well, but the publisher was always good about the butch business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about the process of this. Like, the other thing that I also found, like, I don't know how useful it is that I've compared the two, but I'm like, oh.
Sure. And there's some 100 Butches in it.
Yeah, totally. 100 Butches, you're asking people to tell personal stories about themselves, or you are telling personal stories about people.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have the format of, like, fashion and, like, shopping.
Yeah.
And so at first I was like, oh, this is less personal. And then I was like, no, it's not less personal. It's just more focused. I just want to hear about, like, the decision to write about going into two stores and discussing, like, clothing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, it was sort of also, I really must say that The Illustrated Gentleman is kind of a project that was given to me as a fantastic opportunity by No More Potlucks.
Okay.
Which is a Montreal-based national queer blog in Canada. And they've been really generously promoting the butches, and they put one in every single issue of No More Potlucks, which is awesome. I'm, like, one of the only two, like, permanent things in the magazine, which is an amazing honor. Once I sold the rights to 100 Butches, they said, we're going to keep you, we don't care, so just do whatever you want to, and that's an amazing honor. I mean, it's really hard to even get published or get, you know, publicity in the first place. So I felt a huge sense of freedom, so I thought, yeah, what else would I want to do? And it all started when I was at Chapters one day, which isn't really where anything should, was, anyway. And there was a fashion book, a huge book there called The Illustrated Gentleman.
Oh.
Yeah, totally.
What was in it?
Oh, beautiful drawings of men's clothes and men, you know, prancing about on catwalks, and I was just filled with longing, you know, like, as I was. Sartorial fashion, like, men's fashion, and who is you know, given the right to proudly parade it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and so I just really, somehow it was the name alone that did it. I was like, I want to own this name. The Illustrated. We are the Illustrated, gentlemen. Speaking of myself in plural. No, we all are. I want to claim that. So that's why this is, it's pretty different, I guess, from the Butches. It wasn't the same idea at all. I think the Butches for me is much more of like, it's almost like a journal. It's like memories, mm-hmm. memoirs. And the Illustrated Gentleman was actually sort of more about other people's stories, and 100 Butches is all about my stories. So yeah, so this was, I really just wanted to get out there and ask people, like, you're one of my role models. You put on a tie every day and you're so freaking handsome and it's gotta be hard, but you're so, you know, so brave about it. So I wanna hear you talk about it. I wanna follow you to the store and I wanna watch when you come out of the change room and you try different things and I wanna hear everything that's going through your head. So that's what it is.
And what was that process like?
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I when I first came up with it, I sat there laughing to myself for quite some time. It was so great because, so the setup of the Illustrated Gentleman is that I go shopping with someone and they try on an outfit that they really like in the change room, and then I take that photograph and draw it.
Mm.
And the idea was that maybe we can't afford the fantastic clothes that we want to be in, but we're going to still be seen in them anyway. And that was so funny. So I'd go with them, and it's a revelation. It's so nice just to hear other people's processes, and also so it's such a great disguise, because I'm often frightened when I'm shopping in men's sections, and it's great to go, you know, with the excuse of research. So even if people are jerks to us, you know, I'm gonna use it. So And they were often, actually, which I wrote about sales clerks being like, I couldn't possibly sell this to you. I couldn't believe it. They just come out and say it. really uncomfortable things. And also really inspiring people that I'd shop with who didn't even notice that. Like, they're like, yeah, no, I feel much more uncomfortable in the women's section. I feel right at home here, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So it was really enjoyable, really comforting. And I'm hoping that I can get that across, sharing it. You know, like, yeah, so many of us do it, and so many of us are proud and shameless about it, and it's great.
And I feel like, for me anyway, that shopping is also a private activity. So, yeah. Like, being able to go with someone else with the expressed, like, with sort of, like, common fashion in mind or common interest in mind is so nice. Because I feel like what I do is I, like, walk in the mall or whatever, I, like, walk by the stores that I'd like to go in, and that's about as far as I get. Like, oh no, maybe I'll go in for a second and come back out, or like...
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of nice. It's kind of like a huge performance, the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, people telling me, I wouldn't normally come here. I can't really afford these clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
So the whole thing is just one big peacock show. It's really nice.
So for people who can't see it, can you describe it?
Yeah, totally. So it's a wall calendar, and there's 12 months, and every month has a picture, and most of those pictures are this this comic strip called The Illustrated Gentleman, and which consists of the first half, like I say, being a shopping trip with someone, and the second half is supposed to be something fun about fashion, and that was a lot of fun to do. Like, one of them, I did a profile of Shin Peru, who is someone who dresses the stars. Like, she dresses Neo, and she dresses Will.i.am, and she dresses all these really hot hip-hop stars, and she herself dresses really androgynously and is really proud of that, and so I find her absolutely fascinating because she produces a lot of male role models, certainly mine, and she's really proud of her own androgyny, and so that makes me feel more confident about basically imitating her as opposed to them. So profiles on people that I find really inspiring in fashion. Andre 3000 is another one because he's such a big dandy. Started his own fashion line, talked about that a bit.
I liked what he was saying too in here about, just about like talking about like what it means to wear sort of like these kinds of like gentleman clothes.
Yeah.
as like coming from people who aren't handed those clothes. So like
totally.
The kind of how different that is, how different it is like for him as a person of color or someone not
totally
from my class too.
Yeah, particularly like, yeah, poor black,
yeah,
like high school that he was in, they had this prep group. It's, yeah, it was wonderful. I loved what he said because it really got to the heart of this like experience as a queer.
Yeah.
just what it means to be borrowing something, claiming it for your own. And I think that's what really drives me about this whole Illustrated Gentleman comic strip is that like I feel like on a regular basis, like people are doing something that's a huge risk. Just to be natural, and at the same time, you know, so fantastically, so nicely, it also happens to be beautiful.
Mm.
So they're taking these huge risks that are so very pleasing to the eye, you know, and they mm. aim for that, they strive for that, and it's also just very poignantly about like just I'm just trying to be myself. I like how Cynthia. I don't remember if I actually included it in her strip, but she was saying I really don't want to draw attention to myself, and I kind of regret the fact that me dressing this way draws attention to myself. I don't want to.
Mm.
I'm just really obsessed with that since it's what I do on a daily basis too, I guess so many of us do, I really wanted to celebrate that, like celebrate
yeah.
people that do that.
Hello. You're listening to These Things That People Make. It's a show about all the things people make that are not considered fine art and the politics around why they make those things. And today we are listening to an interview that I did with Alicia Lim about the Illustrated Gentleman calendar. And we're going to go back to that interview now.
Subsequently, there's a handsome queer on every page, on every month. And a story about why they do what they do, which I hope is, like, really fun to look at every month.
Totally. It totally is. Can you read one of the pages?
Oh, I'd love to. Oh, I wonder which one I should read. Maybe. I wonder if it would make more sense to read my story. Actually, you know what? You know
I'm
what
really glad you wrote yourself into it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I was
first. Hoping, like, I actually, like, picked this up initially, and I was like, Alicia better have themselves in here.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it's true.
Yeah. It's a first.
Yeah.
But you know what? I would love to share with you. I don't know if I'd share in a lot of other interviews, but you've always made me feel really comfortable about this.
Oh, nice.
Which is that, so these have all been online. Most of them
mm-hmm.
have been online through No More Potlucks. And then they get excitingly reblogged, you know.
Mm.
But what has been a little disconcerting to me is that it's the two white comic subjects that get
mm-hmm.
reblogged only. I mean, this is just chock full of people of color, all kinds of different people. And it's the white ones that get reblogged. And I'm
yeah.
not sure why. I don't know. Maybe it's just people relate to them better. I don't know. But people, look at them all. They're over the nose. But yeah. All right. So I think what I'll do is I'll read the one about myself.
Cool.
Yes. Great. Very exciting. All right. So this is October. So there's a picture of me with the usual logo and a unicorn. And yes. So under the first section, it's called In the Change Room. I was shopping with my dad in a Montreal chain. That's Le Chateau. I started off being discreet, and then you notice in the other months, I'm like, and then we went to Tom's. But these are men's clothes, said my dad in a pained voice. I don't understand what you would want with them. We drifted through the store in our private griefs. By the time the store clerk approached me, I was alone in the men's section. I was self-conscious enough that men and women's sections were totally segregated, with even separate entrances. But she put me at ease. Great choice of vest, she said sincerely, as I tried it on with a red satin tie and red velvet jacket. You can see the drawing of me in red. It's pretty gender divided in here, isn't it? I said. She looked at me. They explicitly forbid me from modeling men's clothes, she confided. I get less of a staff discount on men's clothes. I'm not even allowed to wear a tie. But the worst thing is, she whispered, the other staff. I've heard them freak out just because a guy wanted to try a pair of heels. We looked at each other sadly. I thought she was terrific. Nevertheless, my defenses were up, and I started to put things shyly back on the shelf. Yeah, that's the first section about shopping. And then the second section is a little bit of fun about fashion. And this one gives me great pleasure because I get to talk about my fantastically stylish friends. Laurence, and there's a picture of her, has intimidatingly good taste. It's often the way people remember her. Laurence, who dresses sharp. She says, buy your men's style vests and jackets, but do it in the women's section. Trust me, it will just fit you, and fit is the most important part of fashion. Leroy, meanwhile, won my fashion survey at a party one night. He's the king of style, someone said, for real. I coordinate my colors, he explained, but it's by coincidence because I go through phases. Right now I'm in a purple phase, so when I see something purple, I always pick it up. And that's October. And yeah, the pictures are two queers, one very handsome, the other one me.
Very handsome.
Yeah, modeling what we're wearing.
Awesome. I like the idea of spending 30 days with each of these pages. Oh, and that's nice. Kind of why I like the format of this is like this, like, wow. I think calendars are a great way to do that because I actually do like look at a calendar for the duration of time that it's up and then change it, you know what I mean? And so you get to spend quality time with each of these panels, which is really nice.
That's good to hear. Yeah. I was wondering about that.
I walked by a cafe on College the other day and saw another, like, you know, like, photo, queer photo thing. Like, every so often there's, like, queer photo portrait things. Like, every so many, like, years I'm like, oh, yeah, another, like, queer sitting in their natural habitat, like, photograph.
Really?
Oh, and I just wanted to ask you about drawing of people and, like, if you draw people because, like, and I think this is totally legitimate, like, because you love drawing, or if there's something about, like, representing your friends but also being able to draw them.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That's a really good question. I haven't really ever put it into words, but, yeah, it's really important to me, for sure. I was just thinking today how portraiture is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I think that, I guess I'm pretty specific. Like, people will send me a few pictures and I'll say, I don't like these. I'm going to look through your Facebook and choose myself. Yeah. But it's not just drawing the person that I want to achieve. It's really capturing their sex appeal, I think.
Yeah.
That matters to me so much. Oh, yeah. So, I'll pour through people's photos and I'll look for eye contact and just that, you know, extra sparkle that someone has when they're really comfortable with how they look that day. And when that image just leaps out at you, just like, this person is attractive. And that's what I want to say. Like, I guess we all know it, but we're beautiful, you know, we're so hot.
Yeah.
And we enjoy each other so much.
Like, yeah.
And I just really want to capture that moment where we really enjoy each other and where we're just really looking great and feeling so handsome and feeling so proud to be handsome or you know, beautiful or whatever it is. So, yeah, so it's absolutely, yeah, critical to my art to draw portraits of people and what I hope are dazzling moments. What I think are dazzling moments, yeah.
How do you get over being shy about, like, drawing all your friends as hot babes? I mean, like, they all are hot babes, but I'm just like, how do you do that?
Do you mean how do I ask them for it? Or
no, how do you just go for it? How do you, like, draw everyone as hot babes?
Do you mean because then I would become nervous about them, or how do you mean?
Like, I guess I mean, like, my own nervousness where I'm just like, it's taking a risk telling people that they're hot and then collecting them all.
OMG. Yeah, man, so.
You know?
It's even worse with the butches. No, yeah, totally. Like with the illustrated gentleman. It's hilarious. I'll call people up and be like, I want to take a picture of someone who looks great. Anyway, what are you doing? Oh my God. See, I'm really lucky because of people like you. People that like think that I deserve to somehow, I don't know, be in some kind of media because it makes all the difference when I'm calling people up.
Really? That's great.
They'll be like, oh, but you're Alicia Lim, you know, so we're an honor to be a model for you. If I didn't have that kind of confidence, like, given to me by some kind of, you know, acknowledgement and attention, like interviews, then I think that, yeah, I think I'd be totally intimidated. I think I'd be like, I have this little project. called Sexy People anyway. What are you doing tonight? So that it's been really lucky that most people are just like, finally I got the call. So amazing. It's
well,
so
I just lucky. Think like because I was listening back to our other interview because I played it and like one of the first thing you said where you were just like, I think butches are hot. Like I like just like this like immediate like let's talk about how sexy these people are and I was just like. That's remarkable. Like, that's way different than being like, these people need to be seen, or this kind of visibility is important, or these kinds of discussions aren't in the mainstream, so I'm gonna, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's something, like, way, of course, because, like, sexiness is so awesome, but there's something way, like, riskier and way more engaging about.
That's so interesting. Know? Now that you mentioned that, I think I'm gonna obsess about that for a bit now, because, no, that's really great, though, because I know I've been told by people that I've pursued that there's something unusual about how willing I am to take a risk with my attraction to people, and I think that's a blessing like no other. Like some I don't know what my mother told me when I was little, but I'm so lucky that I mean I actually feel, and it's kind of almost. It's a mystery why, but no matter how many rejections I might have possibly had in my life, I feel so enthusiastic about telling someone they look so attractive to me. I feel really great about it. I feel it improves my day. And
that's awesome.
It's so lucky. Like, I really feel like it's a blessing. It doesn't come naturally to everybody at all. I know it's not easy. Mm. And I'm lucky that it is easy. But and it's a second reason it's a blessing is that that's totally what I built my career on, my artistic career, is the pleasure of, totally affirming, like, how people look. It comes really easily, and it's a great toy to me to, like, say, look at you. Yeah, and hopefully for other people to share that, for other people to look through my eyes and be like, oh, look at them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that just about does it for the interview this week. I want to say thanks so much to Alicia for doing the interview with me. And please pick up a copy of The Illustrated Gentleman. You can get in contact with me, sarah.mangle@gmail.com, to get in touch with Alicia. I'll put you in touch with Alicia that way. And otherwise, check out No More Potlucks on the internet for other Illustrated Gentleman comics. And please keep listening to CFRU, and we'll see you back here on These Things That People Make next week.
This day dies and love lies all decayed, but then oh, to spend a moment with you the moment is a gift where the world just stands still while the wind whirls wild and swift.